Hello, everyone out there in internet radio land listening to my show. How are you doing? I'm okay. I'm all right. And it's a beautiful day here in San Antonio. I was just telling Doug from DBS Radio that I had been out in the backyard picking peaches off our peach tree. And they were so delicious. I had two. Very juicy. Better than the store-bought type, I think. And awesome. Very awesome. My wife, she had three. They're just standing out there. I took mine inside to wash them. Anyway, so it's been a couple of weeks since my last show. How great this is to be able to talk for an hour. And more, that's one of the reasons that I signed up for this, in addition to putting out the information that I have in regard to spirituality, also to talk for an hour. It's a good thing, I really think, because I'm someone who believes in public speaking. I'm a Toastmaster, although recently I haven't been that engaged in it because I have these extra duties at work and I'm kind of in training and learning new things and busy, very busy. But the opportunity to talk for an hour, I think that's going to make me into a better speaker. And I do have a dream, if you will, of one day being a paid speaker to go to universities, colleges, wherever, and talk about the things I'm passionate about. Aren't you passionate about something? I know you are. There's a lot of brilliant, beautiful people out there. After my last show, and I promise to do this more often, I listened to DBS Radio, this man that came on after me, and he sounded so, so intelligent. It's good to know that there are people like that out there that have the interests of the world in mind, making the world a better place, and who are, I mean, like up there with Einstein, Tesla, that kind of a mind, you know? Anyway, I wrote some things down to talk about today, but you know me, if you've listened to my radio show before, I like to branch off and talk about different things. So sometimes I might even get a little distracted and forget to say something. We all do that, don't we? Anyway, so I'm the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. The Gray Brain, G-R-A-Y, Brain and Golden Soul. I wrote that book. It's in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get it for free. Right now, I don't care if I make any money from it. And so why did I name that book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul? Because I thought, just like with a lot of other things, we don't have many answers here in the world, this planet we live on, in regards to spirituality, who we are, where we came from, where we're going. Is there an afterlife? Is there a God, a creator? Kind of a silly question, isn't it? Because all this is creation. Every single thing that you see or have contact with was created from nothing. How about that? Anyone disagree with that? I didn't think so. So there is a creator out there. And for those people who are atheists, who might by chance be listening to my show, or maybe, other shows on DBS Radio as well. Well, all this life here on Earth, isn't it logical to assume that if it happened here by accident, could it not happen by accident elsewhere in the universe? And if there is a creator, or I should say but if there is a creator who is knowledgeable and powerful enough to create all this variety of life, and you know just how many thousands and thousands and thousands of different varieties of life here on Earth there are. little small bodies, big bodies, some that can fly, all with eyes, metabolisms, reproductive systems. Couldn't that creator with that power and knowledge create the same type of life elsewhere in the universe? But right now we're kind of stuck in a Copernican gap, if you will, just like back in Columbus days when people thought the world was flat. Yeah, people like you and me, you know, who lived, had a heartbeat, you know, and they've since passed on. Either they're in heaven, on the sun, in the afterlife, or maybe, you know, that's the best expectation, really, after you die, is to get to where you came from. That land of light, the spirit realm, the spirit land. Because, really, we don't know too much about the nature of the spirit. And as I've said before on other shows, the spirit, my friends, and I don't think there are too many people that would disagree that we do have a spirit in our body, a physical body, and it's made out of light, light energy. In fact, most everything is made out of light. That physical matter that you see, even that. I would even go out on a limb here. Hey, take it from me. Imagine this. Because in the beginning, there was the Big Bang, right? Before that, all that existed was the Supreme Creator, the Spirit, the Great Spirit, and darkness and nothing. But I'm not sure about darkness. I would even venture to say, ladies and gentlemen, that the dark energy and matter that are out there, the darkness in space, are actually created with light. How about that? Anyway, so here we are. We're stuck not knowing that there's life out there. NASA's trying to do all these things to, and they don't have a very big budget, right? President Obama kind of chopped the budget a little bit. President Trump, I think he's upped it, not much, but doesn't seem like we're too concerned about maybe establishing a base on the moon or Mars. Well, you know that we've been hit by a huge asteroid before in our history, right? That's really, I think, in my opinion, what caused the extinction of the dinosaurs. Yeah. And so, if it happened before, yeah, it can happen again. No matter what our scientists and astronomers say, if there's an asteroid out there with our name on it, it's going to hit us, and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, we could try to throw some nuclear missiles at it, but I don't know how good our aim would be. Is our technology that good? And I don't know, do we want nuclear missiles exploding in outer space? I'm just going to branch off here and say something about the new movie by the Avengers, Infinity War. I haven't seen it. God forgive me, I'll probably see it, you know, maybe, or see some of it. But I read a little bit about what it's in regard to, and it's, they saved the universe, not only the world, not the solar system, but the universe from evil. All these superheroes. And so that's what it's come to, my friend. All this fantasy violence has escalated. So now they're even thinking about the extension, the wiping out of the universe. That's how desperate they are. And I don't like to say negative things in my show. You know, I try to keep it positive. But is that a good thing, really? Is there anything good that can come out of that, movies like that? But what I do like about some of those movies is that they talk about superheroes, right? We, in a way, are like superheroes because we have a spirit in our body. And at nighttime, that spirit leaves the body. Or it's been known as astral body, too, you know. And it ventures out into the spirit lands and refreshes itself and solves problems that we have during our daily lives. And it comes back, and then we wake up, and we're ready to tackle a new day, right? Well, so that kind of desire for being a superhero is inherent in in our nature. We know that we can fly as spirits. We know that we have superpowers, if you will. Have you ever had a dream where you felt like you were Superman and you could like move things telekinetically, or you had beams come from your eyes like Superman, and you're able to burn things up with your laser beam eyes? I've had dreams like that. And that is the nature of the spirit, my friends, especially flying, or maybe getting from one place to another just by thinking of being where you want to go. How about that? But going back to what I said about, so here we are, we're stuck. We don't know if there's life out there. That's ridiculous, in a way, because we need evidence. We're so determined to form our belief system on the basis of evidence. What's the word I'm thinking of? But anyway, so NASA, they're trying to discover life on Europa. They have other projects. You know, we sent a spaceship to Saturn's moon, Triton, right? Or, yeah, Triton, I think. But maybe that's Neptune's moon. I forget, but anyway, we can do amazing things with our technology. Not as good as the extraterrestrials that are out there, though. In my opinion, there are trillions of them. I've never met any. I don't know how it handled meeting one. How about you? You think you can handle meeting an ET face-to-face? I've heard that people that have had encounters with them, believe it or not, and I believe it because it's just, as I mentioned before, we know this life here on Earth didn't happen by accident. And the Creator who created all this has the potential, the power, I mean, to create any type of life, sentient life form, planetary life, you know, planets, moons, the animal life, plant life that's on those planets and moons, anything. And you should know by looking at the variety of life here, we have the reptiles, amphibians, mammals, insects, birds, fish, all the different shapes, sizes, so on. Now, that's an imagination for you, don't you think? Creator who created all that, each individual species, you know, and the different varieties of each. Now, that is an imagination. Woo! And so, we can't limit the Creator's power and intelligence to do the same or more different types elsewhere. But what we need, my friend, is we need to understand a couple of basic things, I think, to be able to get through that Copernican gap and understand that there's life out there, because we don't need evidence, we just need logic. And I gave you some logic there about there being life elsewhere. You know, it happened by accident here, it can happen by accident elsewhere. That's logical. You can't deny that. That's irrefutable. Now, some people might still want to argue it, but they're the type that they argue anything just to be able to, just to be on the opposite side, just for the sake of argument, the thrill of arguing. But as I mentioned, I want to keep my show positive, not saying it's negative. God bless them. You know, they're children of God also. We all are. We're all children of the Creator. And so I wanted to talk about Mother God again. I think, and by the way, I created a video. It's on YouTube. So if you type in Blake Ruby, B-L-A-K-E-R-U-B-I-E, and I've got a video there called There Is a Mother God. There's also other videos, but address the subject of there being a mother God. I've got two really strong points of rationale, if you will, that to me are irrefutable logic. First of all, a father, if there's a father, like the Bible says, right? Father, I hear it all the time in church. I'm okay with that because the father does exist. He is there, yes. However, you look at the definition of father in the dictionary, It says the male genetic contributor to the creation of a child. So, hello, logically, contributor means there's also a mother. You can't have the word father without the word mother. It just is illogical. And I know most people would agree with that. So why don't we realize there's a mother God? Also, here's my second point of rationale. I'm a man. All the men out there, hey, I'm shouting out to you. Who wants, desires to have female companionship? Is there a man out there that wouldn't want to have a woman by his side? I know there's some exceptions, you know, people, the type that maybe have female spirits and male bodies, or male spirits and female bodies, those types, you know. But how can you say that Father God wouldn't want to have a woman by his side? How can you say that? Huh? How can you say that? How do you know that Father God wouldn't want a woman by his side? How do you know that? Huh? How do you know that? You don't. Anyway, that's logic, my friends. Logic. So, case closed. Jordan fade back. Shoots. Swish. Game over. There is a mother God. Anyway, moving on. Did you like that? That's a little bit of humor. So, proving that there is a mother God through logic, and also there's life out there in the universe, it's going to make the world a better place. They go kind of hand in hand. And we haven't given too much thought for there being a mother God, although the Mormons believe in a mother God. And I think the time is always right, my friends. The time is right for women here on Earth to rise up, for our society to turn into a more maternal society. We need more female leadership, because women, my friends, are co-creators with God. Now, you men out there, just think for a few seconds for me, would you please? Imagine having a body, a baby, grow inside your body, in your abdominal area, forming, growing, kicking, feeding off your body through an umbilical tube. Can you imagine what that would be like? And yet women, they're treated badly. Some places in the Middle East, they're treated like dogs, if you will. Now, maybe that's not a good comparison, but... And that's the way it has been for most of the history of the world, at least the civilization that we're part of, right, that began several thousand years ago, dating back to Egyptian times. But if you go back even further than that, for example, in the book called Abduction to the Ninth Planet, it talks about a civilization that exists in the Pacific Ocean known as Mu, M-U, or Lemuria. Anybody heard it? Heard about it? And it existed alongside of Atlantis, although they were in different parts of the world. I heard that Atlantis existed somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, maybe like in the middle, northern part, perhaps off the coast of Spain, if you will. And it was a large continent, like Lemuria or Mu. And they were very advanced and had technology that we didn't know about, that we don't know too much about. Anti-gravity technology, electromagnetic capabilities. And they worshipped in a different way than we do. Perhaps they worship the sun, which isn't a bad thing. So, approximately 15,000 years ago, when they existed, there was something that happened which caused the Earth to tilt on its axis. And what I've read about, and you might have heard this, called Planet X or Nibiru. Apparently, there's a planet in the neighboring solar system that comes in contact or gets within close proximity of our solar system every 15,000 years. And when it does, it disturbs the gravitational pull of our planet. And it's happened before, apparently, about every 15,000 years. And the Earth will stop rotating on its axis. And when that happens, all kinds of cataclysms break out, earthquakes all over the entire planet, and volcanoes exploding, tsunamis, storms. Anyway, that's in the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. It's one of my favorite books. I've talked about it before in other radio shows. I highly recommend it. That's one of my favorite books. That, and also, and by the way, you can read it on the internet. There's a PDF version there, which is for free. And some may think it's science fiction. Well, there are always those people that doubt. But then there are so many people that believe, too, especially when you read the author's words and get to appreciate their intelligence and know that they're not just trying to make some money, you know, fame and fortune. And for the most part, they get ridiculed, they get isolated, made fun of, you know, all that. So one has to, again, use logic and determine if what they're saying, if a lot of the things of what they're saying are true. Anyway, so changing the subject, I was talking about Father God wanting female companionship. Well, in the afterlife, I've got a surprise for you. Some of you may have known this, or maybe you haven't heard of it, that there is sex in the afterlife. Have you heard about the late, great psychic medium, Sylvia Brown? I talked about her in other radio shows. I've read some of her books. She was an awesome woman. She claimed that she had a spirit, what do they call the spirit guide, alongside her. And the spirit guide had lived a life in the 15th century, and so it gave her all this information that she put into books. And she talked about something called merging of the spirits. It's a process where a male and female spirit in the afterlife can bond together. Kind of like, excuse me, take a drink of water. It's so nice here. I'm out in my patio. There's a light breeze coming in. I just cleaned the patio before my show started. We've got screens in our patio, and I took a hose and I washed down the screens, and now the air is so much cleaner, it feels like. And I'm off the floor. Anyway, so merging of the spirits is kind of like the reproductive system, if you will, for lack of a better way of describing it. We all know that, being human beings. But as I mentioned, we know very little of the nature of the spirit because, well, we are here on a Category 1 planet, which means that on the evolutionary scale, it's one of the least evolved. And we are a combination of young souls here on Earth, kind of intermediate souls, if you will, and advanced souls. Per what Sylvia Brown said, there are some advanced souls that come here to help out the young souls. And on a world like ours, with the variety of life, and this is a veritable paradise, really, from what I've read, from what I've heard, this planet of ours is a jewel among the planets throughout the universe, right? It's really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful world. Just think of all the light. And we're not really being good stewards of the world. We're polluting the air, the oceans, rivers, lakes, seas. And we've only just begun, really, to try to undo the damage we've done. And I'm guilty. You know, I drive a car. I believe cars pollute the atmosphere. But, you know, we have our jobs to get to, and we need the money to survive and raise our families. So it's understandable. If I had an electric car, that would be great, you know. If I had the extra money to buy an electric car, I would. Because I'm all about helping the environment, you know. But unfortunately, it is what it is. So, being a combination of young, intermediate, and advanced souls is kind of like quite a diversity, but a mixture of these souls on a beautiful planet, on the lowest planet of the lowest evolutionary scale. I've talked about this before in other radio shows. According to my research, what I believe in, there are 9 categories of planets throughout the universe, where 1 is the least evolved, 9 is the most evolved. And so, as in the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet, these extraterrestrials that live on the planet Thiouba, Thiouba, they're extremely intelligent, and their technology is one of the most advanced in the Milky Way galaxy. They are hermaphrodite, which kind of like transgender. I'm not sure how they reproduce, but they're approximately 9 feet tall, and they've interacted here on Earth before with the civilizations like the one I was telling you about, Lemuria and Mu and Atlantis. Some of you out there around the world, I'm assuming you're listening over there in Germany and in China and Russia and Iraq and South Africa and Colombia. You're listening to this internet radio because it's the new sensation. It really is. It reaches out to everybody around the world. It's not like FM radio or AM radio, you know? So it's a great thing. And I talked about before that the gentleman that followed me and will probably follow me after this radio show, he sounded so amazing, like Einstein, you know, when he's talking about deep state, talking about the universe. I really enjoyed listening to it. I'm going to, you know, we get caught up in our lives. There's so many things to do. We have to look after ourselves and preoccupy ourselves with surviving. Sometimes it's not possible to make the extra time to listen to other people, but I have listened to other shows before, not many, but I intend to listen to more, because even though I don't want to say anything negative about some of these people, I mean, being a Toastmaster, you know, a public speaker, I've known to, I've learned to evaluate people and usually accentuate the positive things, but also think of areas for improvement. And, you know, there's not too much I can say about other people when it comes to, I mean, people that have their radio shows on BBS. I think it's really great that we're talking on subjects like this, because it's not easy, my friends. You know, it takes courage, really, to think outside the box, if you will, and talk about spirituality, talk about an afterlife, talk about God, talk about extraterrestrials. You know, the fear that people had all those years ago, for example, with Roswell in 1947, and really the evidence there is irrefutable. It actually happened. It really, 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 really did happen. And there's a couple of people in particular who were really big players in that whole thing that happened. And on their death, they had a deathbed confession. Now, I ask you, if you were going to die and you didn't care about what you said, you wouldn't make something up, like your last few words before you disappeared from this existence into the next existence. You wouldn't make something up. You would tell the truth. I guarantee you that. And if you don't believe that, well, then you're just not a rational thinker. So, for example, Major Jesse Marquette, who was the one that found all that debris outside Roswell, he, on his deathbed confession, said that material was not a hot weather balloon. It actually was wreckage from a spacecraft. And they recovered bodies, little bodies, childlike bodies. I read some information from the book, The Contact Has Begun, that these extraterrestrials were actually from the Large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy. And they were in coordination with the Verdon from the book, The Contact Has Begun, the most dominant species in the universe. Extraterrestrials, approximately 5 feet tall, with gray or tan skin, the big dark eyes, and they can live 20,000 years. They travel around the space in very quick fashion. They can warp time, space, and their spacecraft can jump from A to B by firing beams of anti-gravity. And they do that very quickly. They can jump 32 times a second, if you will. And so they can travel millions and millions and millions of miles in just 1 second. Go wherever they want. They can turn left, turn right, go back, you know, they've got it mastered there. And so anyway, these aliens, extraterrestrials from a Large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy, were coming into the solar system, and because they're part of the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, did you get that? Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, yeah, they're out there. There's like 20, at least 26,000 species from planets throughout not only our galaxy, huh? But also other galaxies throughout the universe. Yeah. Our God, the creator of the universe, is amazing God. Powerful beyond comprehension, my friends. Capable of doing anything. Don't insult his or her intelligence by thinking that the creator cannot do certain things like you. Just because you can't doesn't mean the creator can't. You know, I mean that in a good way. No offense intended. So, anyway, these ETs, they're out there. They're parked behind the moon. We were going to have contact with them until 9/11 happened. And we were already borderline, you know, being a warlike species. We are, right? Think of all the wars we've had in our past. the most recent one? Well, Afghanistan, Iraq, before that, Gulf War, Vietnam, Korean War, World War II, World War I, Civil War, Revolutionary War. Need I say more, my friends? Anybody out there looking at us, observing us over the years, they would say, oh, those people are so violent. Why are they so violent? Because, well, we're evolving. We're doing better, don't you think, than we were even 1,000, 2,000 years ago in comparison back then. But still, people are getting killed every day, violently. And we have, isn't it any surprise with the movies that Hollywood makes, you know, because they sell money, people like to see all that special effects and, you know, action going on. But when the real thing happens in real life, oh my God. You know, come on. Wake up. If you're a young soul, get on with it. Evolve. So anyway, let's talk about Roswell. Do you know that the people that had knowledge, like some of the items that were recovered, that's what I was telling you, it was scary, right? Scary back then. That was 1947. Things have gotten better, but still, that some people were assassinated back then because they started talking about, like, the bodies they recovered or, you know, the truth of the matter. Here in the United States, my friend, land of the free, home of the brave, men and women assassinated because we're told not to talk about it because it's such a major thing. I'll drink water. That's better. Yes, so it is scary, and that's probably one of the reasons people don't talk about it too much, you know? They don't want to kick anybody off or say the wrong thing, get in trouble. Oh, let's all be led like lambs to the slaughterhouse. There's people in control that we don't even know about. We can't even see them, right? We can't even think the way we want to think. And who cares about the truth, right? Do you really care about the truth? That's why they tried to shield Jesus. Remember back then, and Jesus and I were, you know, we're buddies. Him and I, we have an understanding. Just kidding. But I do intend on seeing Jesus when I get to heaven, you know. God willing, I'll get to that place. I was going to do a little something for you. Put on a little show. Because I woke up, I had a little nap this afternoon. Went to Zumba today. My wife and I went and had lunch afterwards. And then I came home, had a nap, woke up, and there was a book in my box alongside my bed called A Phone Call from Heaven. Well, here's what it might sound like. I'm just going to kind of off the top of my head, you know, extemporaneously, give you an idea of what A Phone Call with Heaven would sound like. Okay, it'd be something like this. Hi, how's it going? Oh, it's great. I'm here in heaven. There's so much light everywhere. There's no darkness. There's no shadows. Oh, wow. And I feel so happy. I don't have to sleep anymore. There's no bodily functions. I don't have to go to the bathroom every few minutes, you know, every half hour, hour, whatever. And guess what? Because I'm a spirit now, I can change my image. And I prefer looking like I was when I was 30 years old. Yeah. I don't have any glasses. And my teeth are perfect. Yeah. Oh, it was wonderful. When I first got here, I was so happy to be here because I didn't know if I was going to get here. I just got down on the ground, kissed the ground. And I looked around, and there was angels. And they're all so cool and natural, looking at me like, hey, we're all part of this together. Yeah, we got a creator, you know, the man, the woman, male and female, you know. And so maybe, you know, I'm talking to a child, you know, I have a son, let's say, well, whoever, you know, I'm calling from heaven, okay, back to that. Yeah, when I first got here, so yeah, I'm talking to my son, just as an example. Yeah, it's amazing because the phone that I'm talking to you through was developed by a mind here in heaven, you know. And did you know that Sir Thomas Bell, the inventor of the telephone, was actually working on a way to communicate with the dead? Well, I'm dead, but I'm here in heaven, and so I'm talking to you. Oh, it's awesome. When I first got here, guess who met me? One of the first people to walk up to me was Father Abraham. Oh, I was just blown away. Because here's this big dude, big barrel-chested dude with a big old beard. He hands me this goblet, golden goblet, from the water, with water from the river of life, and said, "Welcome to heaven, my son. Yes, the stories you heard before are true. Isn't it great? You're all part of the family here, so just enjoy yourself. Remember, praising God is the big thing here. So take this water and drink, and I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. I'm a busy man here. I got people coming all the time, coming to heaven." And so there, the river of life, flowing through the throne room of God. And I took a dip. I went into the water. I went over my head. I thought I was going to drown. Then I realized that I was already dead. I looked above me, and I was breathing somehow. It's like, you're not breathing air, but you're breathing the existence. It's amazing, but it's hard to describe, you know. You don't need air because there's no air there, but still, your body is still working, and it looks the same. The features are the same. Facial characteristics, you have hair, your body, the same size. Unless you want to change your shape, you can. And that's the amazing part of it, because I know very little. I knew very little about the spirit when I was there on Earth. And now I see people all around me. Although there are some that are younger, and I'm still learning about the way things are in heaven, but the days are full of activities. You can go to lectures, there's concerts, music all around, angels flying up above. You can fly yourself, you can travel just above the ground, you can walk in conventional mode, and also just be someplace by thinking about it. And wow, and when I first got there, all these deceased relatives, that I knew some, others I didn't know about, they came up to me. It was a great reunion. And it made me realize just how far back my family tree goes, you know, through the centuries, years and years back, and the people there in heaven, they're from all different cultures. And there's no separation by religion, because we realize that we are all the children of the Creator. And I found out that there is a Mother God, too. I got a chance to go to the throne room and see them on their thrones. And it was great. The area around the throne room. Excuse me. Take another drink of water. It's also known as the Sea of Glass. It's a beautiful floor in a huge room, kind of like an arena or like the AT&T Center. It's absolutely huge. Angels flying all around, praising, saying words of praise. Redeemed souls, all these advanced, well, for lack of a better way to describe it, it's not easy to get to the throne room of God, because to the Spirit Mother and Spirit Father's throne, because you have to be able to withstand their light, their brilliance and the glory that emanates from them. I mean, it's so powerful that when you walk up to them, it's almost like you can't, it's like coming against a wind, a strong wind. And unless your eyes and your being, your nature, your soul, the brain and the spirit is able to withstand that brilliance and that glory, then you can't get close to them without laying prostrate on the ground, you know? And maybe just able to look up, just barely looking up and seeing their spirit, you know? But once you get used to that by increasing your knowledge on the nature of the spirit and all the universe, and there's so much to learn, my friends. So anyway, yeah, there in heaven, we had these feasts. We have these feasts on a daily basis almost. Huge tables laid out with fruit from the tree of life and goblets of water from the river of life. And then there's breads and vegetables from these fields. And everyone's just having a great time laughing and praising God and saying wonderful things. And oh, the beauty, it looks just like Earth. But, I mean, there's trees and mountains and valleys and flowers, beautiful flowers that when you walk by, they turn and look at you. Almost as if they had, like they do have an intelligence of their own. They're absolutely wonderful. And so, my friends, I'll cut it off right there. That was an example phone call from heaven telling what it's like. I'm running out of time. And these hours that I have, they go really quickly. Anyway, here's some shout-outs. I hope you enjoyed that. I might try that again in the future. Remember, heaven is the sun. It's the spirit world. I know there's a lot of suns. And when you look up in the evening sky at nighttime, remember, those aren't stars. Those are suns. Solar system. Let's break it down to the facts, okay? Let's know the truth, the matter. No more fantasy, huh? No more fantasy violence, fantasy this. Let's go for the real thing, you know? Seek the truth, my friends. You might be a young soul, or you might be an advanced soul out there. But you still need to evolve yourself, because you don't know if tomorrow is going to be your last day here on Earth, and the objective of your being here, the object of you being here, is to develop yourself spiritually. If you're not doing that, then you're going to fail your mission. You have to graduate from this university of the universe here on Earth. To do that, you have to develop yourself spiritually. You know how. Random acts of kindness, studying spirituality. The Bible is a good place to start if you're just starting, or even to refer to when you get more advanced, because it's got a great history of divine intervention here on Earth, you know, with Jesus specifically. And I've talked about Jesus before. I'm going to be putting a new YouTube video on YouTube about who Jesus really was. And I've talked about that in another show, one before Easter. And so, wow, that sun. The sun is, so the sun is the spirit world. It's the world of light, but it's not a fire like you understand. It's not when you light a match and look at that fire. It's a very special fire. It's a nuclear fire. I'll drink water. But it's the fire of God. It's the fire of the Creator, the Supreme Creator who created the universe, and by God, the Supreme Creator, both male and female, in his plan, his, her plan, she put these different forces, made these forces, cosmic forces, available so that whoever knew how to use them could duplicate what the Supreme Creator did with words. Yes, words. just like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. If you know how to use the correct words in perfect synchronization with your soulmate, you can create physical and spiritual matter. Or the other way around, spiritual first, because this physical matter that we have here on earth comes from the spirit matter. But yes, because you have a spirit in your body, and that spirit is made of light. And then you can exist in the fire of the sun because as a spirit, because the spirit can live in the fire. It's like the spirit can live in hellfire too. And I know you've heard about that before. Excuse me. Another drink of water. So I'm running out of time here, only got a few minutes left. I think I talked about everything I wanted to talk about today. Remember, in regard to Mother God, tell me a man out there, and there are a few exceptions to, doesn't want a female by their side, right? Well, I desire female companionship. I'm married. I want a woman by my side. And so, there is Mother God. We just don't know too much about her, but you can be sure that she is beautiful. And so, please, treat women better. Let's raise them up on a pedestal as the co-creator gods they are with God. Growing babies in their body, they're just co-creator gods. You know, they should be treated like goddesses and not abused in any way. And I know we have to be patient with them because they're kind of like a minority that's been discriminated against a lot throughout the history of the world. So, please, let's rise up and create a more maternal society. You know, we need more female leadership. We need men to work in coordination. You know, doesn't have to be more one than the other like there already is. But we're getting more equal now, but you know what I mean. Anyway, it's 53. So when I say God, I mean either the supreme creator whose plan it was to have a little small piece of him put into a being that would he could learn from, grow from, expand. So we have that piece of God, the supreme creator in us. And our mission is to develop ourselves spiritually, evolve, help the universe to grow and expand. Still doing what we do in our everyday lives, but also in that plan of the Supreme Creator was to have these solar systems. Imagine that, the birth of a solar system, my friend. The sun coming alive with a nuclear fire, which will burn for billions of years before going supernova and nova. And all the planets. And one day, I believe, you and I, and there's a lot of space out there, right? Infinite space, my friend. Infinite. And so, I've got 1 minute left. I just wanted to remind you that you are a future co-creator God yourself when you pass away from this life, depending on how many more future lives you're going to have, reincarnating. And it's going to be a long, long time, maybe. Maybe not so long for other people, those more advanced souls. But we're all children of God, regardless of whether we're a young soul or an advanced soul. So I hope that my prayer is that the Supreme Creator would bless everyone, all his her children. Help us to love each other. Change the hearts of those that need to be changed. I love you. Thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for listening to BBS Radio. take good care of yourself. And until next time, goodbye.